So tell me about the big change that happened to you this year.
Oh, it's a total different environment for sure. I was basically selling Rolex, so it was like super high status, like the job, the people. It was just a total different vibe, which I totally enjoyed. I really did enjoy it. I loved how it made me like up here, right?
Yeah, with your shoulders.
Yeah, literally my shoulders walking tall. Like even like when I was asked, like, what do you do? Like, I sell Rolex. Like, it was like matter of fact. Like, I sell Rolex. Here's my card. Like, you know, it was very like matter of fact. Like,
yeah.
And with a lot of confidence and a lot of like that's what I do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so eventually, I guess it got to a point where it was like, I'm not happy. Like, it's not fulfilling my like desire. Like, I don't feel passionate about mm-hmm. it. Like, I loved it. I loved mm-hmm. the status mm-hmm. part of it, but something was missing. And I finally asked myself, like, why am I here? Like, mm-hmm. am I here because of the money? Like, is that why I'm here? Like, and then I realized it was like, it's the money, mm-hmm. it's the status, it's like the way I look, it's the way, and it just felt so superficial to me mm-hmm. that it made me feel ugly inside, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, you know what, like, I don't want to do this, like, yeah. this is not what I want to do. And when I get to those points in my life, because I do them so often, I tend to get to a really good spot, and then I jump, and then mm-hmm. I'm like fighting for my life, and then I make it, and then I do it again,
oh, wow.
and I don't know why I do this, but it's totally a childhood trauma, I'm sure. The chaotic lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I jumped and I decided, I was like, okay, what's next? Like, what do I want to do?
Right.
It was literally pulling jobs out of my ass. Like, sorry, excuse the language.
No, it's allowed.
I'm total spiritual with the bad mouth. But
no, it's
like, I was like, okay, so I've been doing yoga 3 years now. Mm-hmm. So let's go there. And then it was like, and what am I really good at? And I was like, I'm really good at healing, like from mm-hmm. traumas and things that happen in life. Like, I'm really good at that. And I was like, yoga and meditation healed me mm-hmm. accidentally. And let's do that. Mm-hmm. Let's teach people how to do this. Let's teach people that it's such a simple method. And oh my God, you start changing on your own. Like, you don't need somebody pointing a finger at you like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. It was like, it's all within you. Like,
yeah.
you start to find the little things that you're like, well, I don't want to do this anymore. And then you slowly start to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a domino effect, you
right.
know? And it's just such a beautiful journey. But yeah, the transition from selling Rolex to being a yoga instructor has been a tough transition, because even to this point, I'm like, okay, what's missing? Like, what's missing when people ask me, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because first of all, my clients, they'll be like, okay, so you left Rolex and now you're a yoga instructor, spiritual healer. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. But to them, it sounds crazy. Like,
yeah.
how do you leave this
Rolex
to do that? You know, to them, it's like, not to just them, but
mm-hmm.
everybody, like
mm-hmm.
you left that to the,
yeah.
to this. And so, yeah, it's definitely been a ego death, I'm going to call it.
Ego death. Okay.
Because I didn't see it as a problem
mm-hmm.
until I started to realize, like, how people react to it and kind mm-hmm. of like, okay, like, this is what I love. This is what I'm passionate about. But I'm having it. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening inside of me
mm-hmm.
that I don't feel the confidence when I'm asked? You know, like, I don't say it like when I said, mm-hmm. oh, I sell Rolex.
Yeah.
You know, so something was missing there. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, we need to practice one. What do I say when they ask me, what do I do? Right?
Yeah.
Because basically, when you ask that question to people, it's like,
what do you do?
They right away, they're like, not judging you, but they're judging you. Like, okay,
yeah.
your status in the society norms, right?
Right, right.
So it was total ego death of not caring what the society claims to be a high status job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I love to do, and it helps people. So
mm-hmm.
I need to own that
right.
and love it and say it with confidence. Say it with pride, not pride, but with
pride,
you know?
Yeah,
say it with pride, like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And so that transition is still being tweaked at this
mm-hmm.
moment, but I'm practicing in the mirror, like,
nice.
What do you do? I'm a yoga instructor, spiritual healer. That's right.
By the way, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you
it was
so
September
much.
22nd.
September 19th.
September 19th.
Close.
Okay, so that makes sense. Libra, I'm a Libra too. And you were talking about the chaotic upbringing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of sounds similar. Like I fall asleep. I would fall asleep when I was younger, when it was like the quinceañera on the chairs. And I was like, the chaos helps me go to sleep. Yeah. But I want to go back to what you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You said that you were in this position selling Rolex. Mm-hmm. How long was the process of like eventually like not being right with your own self? Mm-hmm. Like how long was that process or what was that process like?
So when I first started, I really evolved as a person because when I started in the Rolex area, I started out, I was very quiet. I was that person that was just very people pleaser, mm-hmm. right? So it was a whole transition to become this woman, empowered woman, like who just, you know, owns herself, mm-hmm. right? And so it took me about 3 years to mm-hmm. build myself up to be that person, to become that person that I love so much. And it was a journey. So yeah, it took me 3 years to get there. Mm-hmm. And once I got there, it was like, okay, like I'm here, but I'm such a reflector. You know, I reflect on everything I do to a point of like, dang, stop it. You know, like, can we be happy with ourselves for a little longer? And I just tend to reflect on things all the time because I'm always looking in the mirror. Like, am I a good person? And to me, not a good person to you. Mm-hmm. Like, am I a good person for myself?
Yeah.
Like, as my morals, like me, myself, to my children. Like, I constantly, I'm always trying to make sure that I'm a good person for my values mm-hmm. to myself. And I'm not going to say I'm a saint mm-hmm. and I've never made mistakes. I've done so much stuff. I'm trying not to say bad words.
Shit.
I've done so much shit.
Sorry,
you know?
Kids.
I've done so much shit.
Sorry, kids.
That, you know, I don't regret any of it. Like, it's like you make a mistake. The point is that you looked at it, you reflected on it, and you're like, hey, you know what? I want to do something different. I want to change this. And that's it. And so I've learned to maneuver life that way and look mm-hmm. at it in those manners than to mm-hmm. guilt myself over it. But yeah, I've not been a saint. I've made mistakes and here I am.
Yeah, no
and
one's
so
perfect.
Yeah, reflecting is definitely my number one. And so yeah, I definitely looked at myself and I was like, what's missing? Like, why do I feel unhappy? Like, I'm happy, but I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Like, who am I trying to impress? Who am I trying to make happy? Like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And so that's where it started to where I started to kind of the wheel started turning. Mm-hmm. I started questioning myself, started like, you know, trying to make sure that I wasn't trying to chase this, but climb this never ending ladder.
The rat race.
That it's a never ending ladder. You know, I just wanted to, an example for that. When I got my Rolex, you know, the thing my first and only Rolex, it was my graduation gift to myself. But I engraved it. I put, oh my God, it slipped my mind. It was always stay humble and kind because I didn't want to forget my old life. I didn't want to forget how humble I am because now I have a Rolex, mm-hmm. because now I live this lifestyle, because now mm-hmm. I'm at this status. Like, I did not want to forget myself and lose myself because it's so easy mm-hmm. to just, it's a fine line. You know, it's a fine line to you're right here and then you just crossed over a little bit and then you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just wanted to make sure that I didn't forget who I was in my core self and my values and my, and be humble, you know? And so basically that's what I engraved my watch with. And I love that watch. Like, it's my everything, you know?
Congratulations for getting that watch.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're speaking of not forgetting your values and staying humble. Where did you grow up? Where did you learn these types of beliefs? Mm-hmm. Tell me about how it all started.
Well, so, I mean, you would think I learned it from my parents, but oh my God, I had the worst childhood. So it was complete chaos. It was like a lot of fighting, drugs, like, you know, just everything you can think of bad, mm-hmm. it is probably in there. So it was such a chaotic lifestyle mm-hmm. that I feel for me what helped me be different. I always call myself the white sheep of the family.
The white sheep.
The white sheep because it was, and I don't, not to blame them for anything, you know, like you, when you are in that lifestyle, that is your normal and that's your life cycle. And you don't even realize that it's not normal until mm-hmm. you're in another environment mm-hmm. to know that it's abnormal, right? Yeah,
because you're surrounded by it.
You're surrounded by, this is what you live. This is like, this is what you live all the time. So to you, that's normal and there's nothing wrong with it. And so for me, what was different was that I was an athlete. And mm. so I, in order for me to go to a game, because my mom wasn't gonna wake up, or maybe she wasn't gonna have come home to mm-hmm. take me to a game,
yeah.
I'd have to stay at my friends' houses so they can take me. And so that's how I started to see, like, something's wrong with my family. You know, like, this family acts different, they do different things. So that's how I basically realized there's two different ways of living.
Right.
And so that was the first instinct of, I need to eventually get out of this, you know, cause this is not healthy. And so I knew that. And another thing was, I've always been a runner all my life. I've been a runner. And so running
cross country track,
Both. Yeah. Both
soccer.
I basically did all the sports. And so that's what kept me busy. I've always had so much energy. And so it kept me a little out of trouble, but also like it kept me sane and it kept me like, clearing emotions from like exercises is really good for like depression, for like anxiety, like all those kinds of emotions that might keep you stuck into that same lifestyle, you know. Also running is like active meditation. So it's a form of your thinking, like while you're running, it's a long run, your mind's going, you're just thinking and thinking and thinking, and that's where you build mindfulness,
yeah,
right? And so I didn't realize that that's what I was doing the entire time, but you know, and I'm not saying that I never misbehave. I coming from that lifestyle, I tended to get into trouble a lot,
yeah.
And then my coaches would save me, or like they would pull me here, pull me there. And so a lot of the times my coaches, you know, they were the ones that kind of helped me through things,
yeah,
to help me come back to this, you know, the healthy lifestyle.
Right.
But yeah, so definitely realizing that and kind of, I guess, pulling myself out of it. And then how did I learn all these things was basically mistakes after mistakes and reflecting on them. Because like I tell you, I've always reflected on things. So of course, at the beginning as a teenager, I would just make a mistake and a mistake and a mistake. And I was like, God, why does this always happen to me?
Yeah,
why does this always happen to me?
What high school did you go to?
All of them. All of them. So I graduated I graduated from Bears, from PSJ high school. But freshman year, I was at Edinburgh North High School.
Okay.
Then I went to Wolverines. We call them by their mascot, right? So
Memorial.
And then sophomore year, I went to Raiders. I went to Raiders sophomore year.
Memorial.
And then, hello. And then after that, it was Bears.
Nice.
And so finally I stayed there because at that point I'm already driving and like
you look like a bear.
My parents I look like a bear. Yeah, so I was there and like we were gonna move again. So the reason I moved so much was because my parents were separated.
Oh.
And so actually freshman year I lived with my coach. I stayed with her and she helped me like stay there. My mom had left us again. Mm-hmm. My mother was in and out of our lives, so she mm-hmm. would like take off, then she'd show up again. And so I lived with my coach for my freshman year.
Your life sounds like a movie, to be honest.
Oh, it's totally a movie. Oh my gosh. So I ended
good thing
up
we're capturing it.
Yeah. So we ended up at my coach's house. And then
and this is the coach for track?
This she was my middle school coach. She was basically in middle school, they're the same coach for every sport.
Oh, okay.
So she was there for all of it.
She was coach and guardian.
Yeah. So she's always been an angel, you know, like all my coaches, you know, but she really took me under her wing and just kind of, she knew the stuff at home. And so she kind of took me under her wing and just kind of supported
me. She was like, don't worry, Mija, I understand.
I got you. I'll take you to the game. I'll take you here. Like,
loving. So were you like the star athlete?
I was a pretty good athlete, so.
Si no, no te hubiera traído.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely think that my athleticism helped me so much, because it literally has saved me so many times where, like, a coach, and I'm not going to say that they only saw me for that, but one example I will give you is when I went to Wolverines. I showed up, I was new. I didn't know anything on my math class. She was my math coach. And she really was like, oh my God, I'm not going back and doing all this all over again. Like, I don't know. You're just going to have to figure it out.
Oh my gosh.
I show up to our gym class and I'm like an athlete. So I'm really natural at things, right? And so she spots me right away. Next time I went to class, she was right by my side. Like, okay, look, this is how you do this. Like, she was on me trying to support.
And she was the coach for what?
She was the basketball coach.
Ah.
And so after that, she was like, okay, I need her. And she's, I need her.
And did you ever ask her, like, oh, so now you want to help?
Nah, I enjoyed the support and the help and the niceness, you know, because I said I was a people pleaser.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like pleasing her was like, okay, she needs me, you know, yeah. She needs me. So basically, yes, it could have been that as well. But mm-hmm. Being athletic really helped me through a lot of my things in school. Like, it really helped me put the foot in the door. And I don't know, being charismatic might have helped as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and being a happy kid, you know, it's weird because going through all that as a child, like, I was always smiling, like, mm-hmm. I was a cheerleader, like,
también.
I mean, damn. People never knew that all this stuff was happening at home, you know, like, nobody ever knew, because I never brought that home. I was never crying at school. I was never like, oh, my life has been, like, I never showed it.
So you're living, like, two lives.
Basically, but in a way, it didn't feel like it affected me. Like, it was just our life that it didn't feel like it was, like, I always felt like somebody has it worse. Somebody has it worse. And that's literally what I would tell myself mm-hmm. as a kid. I always said, somebody has it worse.
And where did you learn that? Like, how to tell that to yourself?
I have no idea.
Because that's like some pretty grown up type of mentality type of stuff.
I feel like I've always felt like I've been connected in the spiritual. Like, it's always been guided, you know? Like, I'm not going to say, like, I can remember as a kid one time where I was really debating, like, killing myself, right? Oh, man, that made me a little emotional. I had never talked about it in a while. Like, I remember looking in the mirror, like, first of all, my mother was over there doing drugs, and I just remember they would keep us in the room, like, while they're over here partying, right? And so I remember just going into the restroom, and I was just really trying to cut myself. And in the moment of just looking at myself in the mirror, I told myself, like, stop, like, you don't do this. Like, it's gonna get better. Somebody has it worse.
Yeah.
And from there on out, it just always stuck to me. And I've just always said that to myself. Every time that it's felt like it's been really bad, it's always like, no, somebody has it worse. Somebody has it this way. And, like, we only have to do this, you know?
How old were you when that happened?
I'm gonna say maybe about seven, eight years old. But yeah, like I said, I always had this just different way of thinking that helped me get out of situations or thinking processes. And I just really feel like for me, being an athlete has always helped me. Like, because you exercise, and when you exercise, you get those endorphins going, you get those emotions, like, out of your system, and it really gets your wheels turning. So I'm gonna say it's definitely exercise that I did mm-hmm. all my life. Like, elementary too, I was a runner, like, and singing, you know, I've always sang. So it's, to me, singing, oh my God, singing just helps me clear anything. I had an ex-boyfriend who knew that every time I was mad, he'd take me to karaoke and I'd forget all about it. Like, singing for me has always also helped
it's
me.
It's
like,
true though, because I have a karaoke machine in my room, in my bedroom. And I sometimes, when I'm at home, I sing by myself. And I really do think it's what you're saying.
It does.
It's true.
You know, and it's also like the vibration. It's like, because music vibration is, there's research on this, that it helps you, like, with your emotions as well, like, feel like getting in tune, getting balanced. And so definitely music has always also helped me, like, get out of, like, mm-hmm. those emotions and feeling stuck and feeling like, oh my God, life's out to get me. Like, I just never had that in me. And being able to stay positive and smiling and, like, people not know what's happening, like, it was kind of amazing, you know, to be able to pull that off, and people think like you have a whole different lifestyle, and you don't.
Yeah.
You know, I think also at the same time, it might have been a little bit of a mask, like I'm going to pretend, like playing pretend. And I think when I say a mask, it's because when I started doing yoga and meditation as an adult, literally like the first week after I started doing it, it was like I had no smile. I was so serious. And I remember a coworker was like, is everything okay? Like, you're not smiling. You're not yourself. And I was like, I feel at peace. But now that I started to meditate, it's like my mask fell off. Like, I'm not faking my happy anymore. Yeah. You
it's
know?
Like what you were mentioning, the people pleasing. Maybe the pleasing. Smiling was people pleasing.
Probably. Yeah, it could have been that. It's like it was like a mixture of those things. It's like, yes, people pleasing. I want to make people happy. I want to make people like feel positive. Like it's just it is people pleasing. Dang, I hadn't looked at that way. I'm a healer.
You're a healer because since you were little.
Yes, I am a healer.
That's the thing. When you're a healer and you have that gift, then there's always going to be that, the enemy.
Yeah.
So talk to me about being a healer. How did that start?
So my healing journey, I've always known that I've had this energy about me that people like to be around. I didn't realize that it's because people tend to have like these emotions where they're sad and depressed, and so when they come near me, like they feel better and they feel happier, and because of my positivity and my smile, and it's like a mixture of things. It's my eyes, it's my eye gaze, it's my touch, it's my voice, my soothing voice. Like it's just a mixture of all of it. That I'm gonna say the best way to explain it is my energy.
Yeah.
It's been my energy. But going into actually being a spiritual healer, that transpired after doing yoga and meditation, which I started my yoga and meditation journey at 30, after a really terrible breakup. I finally got into a healthy relationship, and where I was able to kind of just start seeing who I am. What do I like to do?
Yeah.
Start something new. And I literally started yoga and meditation by accident. I was doing jiu-jitsu at the time, and I was getting injury after injury after injury. And I was like, I need to do yoga and meditation so I could stop pulling my muscles. And that just took me on another world that I was not expecting. And I'm going to say by accident, but not by accident, right? Everything happens for a reason when it's supposed to, at its perfect timing. And I started to heal myself, and I started to make changes in my life that were so important that I needed for so long. People pleasing was one of them. Oh my God, I'd kill myself to go after, if somebody needed me, hey, like I need you here. Like example, I had a friend at the time that I'm not gonna say I never had those before, but at that time it was just this specific one, right? Where she would call me and she needed me to go. And I'd show up, and I started to notice, like, as soon as I would get there, she'd leave. And I'd be like, man, I left my kids at home. I left my homework. I left quickly out of work to just go tend to her and make her feel better. And I started to realize, like, she's not valuing me. Like, she's, like, not showing
she's using
me.
You.
Yeah, and I felt really used. And so I was like, I looked at it and I was like, okay, she's gonna call me again. I was like, this is my lesson. I need to learn here. I have to learn how to say no, because I could never tell people no. Like, even if I didn't want to do something, I always said yes, because I just wanted people to be happy.
Well, thanks for saying yes to the podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh my gosh, Carlos, yes. That's a good thing, because I have to tell you one thing I do, because I'm the same way. I mean, I feel like we're mirrors, you and I. But you can always say, my time is non-negotiable.
Yeah.
My energy is non-negotiable. Yep. This is not part of my journey.
Yep.
You know, there's things that you can say, and then they're going to be like, what? And then they'll stop. You know, eventually, they are ejecting themselves out.
Yeah.
Because they get tired or whatever. But yeah, like, I had to say, you know what? That's because my daughter, I'm like, nope, I got to do everything for me and for Zoe.
Yeah.
And sometimes people might not recognize that they're doing that to you.
Yeah.
But when you bring it up and like, hey, my time is non-negotiable.
Exactly.
Like she said, they're like, oh, I'm doing that. Like
my energy is non-negotiable. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think also like you yourself, like I guess for me, it was like, I don't want to make somebody feel like I'm being mean by saying no. And like having healthy boundaries is healthy. And so people pleasers tend to not know that they can't say no. They have this line that you, and it's not being mean and it's not being a douchebag. It's you just saying, no, like, I don't want to do that. Or I can't, I have this other thing. Like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a long time, I did the say yes to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, finally I decided like, this is my lesson. I need to learn how to say no. And I was like, okay, and I'm not going to do it to be mean and be a douchebag. Like, oh, just because you did this to me, I'm going to, like, it was not like intentional like that. It was like, okay, if I have homework, if I have to go home with my kids, if I have to do this, if I have things to do, I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And so I prepared myself, and sure enough, she calls me. And I looked at my stuff and I had homework. And so I was like, no, I'm sorry, I can't. And she was shocked because I'd never told her no before. Like I would say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Go skating, go eat, go this. Like it was everything I would say yes.
She's like, who
so
are you?
She was like, what the heck, right? And so that was that first time. And oh man, like the first time was like I was nervous about it. I was like, she was a really intimidating like girl, you know, like, and I was like, oh my God, like afraid to say no. And I felt like a kid again, you know, and it totally comes back from childhood. It comes from childhood, from not being able to voice yourself, not being able to say no to your parent, not be able to say no to a traumatic experience, and you have to do what you're being told to do. So for a long time, I was like, I do whatever somebody told me to do. I felt like I was not in control of myself.
Mm.
So learning that was beautiful. That was my first lesson from doing yoga meditation, that I finally saw that, okay, this is what I need to do here. Next one was just not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give.
Like, oh my God, the first
I don't give a fuck.
In the podcast.
You know,
the F word. Yes,
yes, because, oh my God. So it came to the point where it was like, if people are going to talk shit no matter what I do, then I might as well do something that I want to do.
Yeah.
Because they're going to talk shit no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, stop caring and stop, like just do you.
Yeah.
Do what makes you happy. Because they're still going to talk shit.
Yeah.
So that was that lesson. And, oh, my God, it just felt like after that, it was a domino effect. It was, like, lesson after lesson. Like, I started making changes that were, like, needed. Like, I needed so much. And, oh, I started to be free.
Yeah,
like free,
I'm
free.
When you start looking, you know, forward with your energy and being very, you know, vital to yourself, then your blessings start coming, because what those other energies are doing is they're blocking your blessings.
Yeah.
That's not for you. This is not for me. This is not my favor. You know, this is not my journey. And I think, like, once you realize, you know, what a narcissist is, you can see, you know, how to
spot it and
I mean, at 50, I really learned what a narcissistic was. At 50.
It's tough to step
they
out
teach
of the
that
problem.
In school.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Girls.
These life lessons should be taught everywhere.
Young women.
Especially like also like pouring into everyone's cup with your cup, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and I really try to teach, like, this is my cup. And I'll teach you how to fill yours, but you're not touching mine. This is mine. Like, in order for me to be able to help everybody out, I need to be okay. And so that's what we tend to overlook. Like, even as moms, we want to give our kids everything. And like, oh, we nos matamos para los hijos, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we do everything for them. And it's like, hey, like, you got to also look at yourself. If you're not healthy, mentally healthy, if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not sleeping, like, that's going to come out in other ways that are not going to be healthy,
Towards everybody.
Towards everybody else. So you need to really make sure that you really do your self-care and you're valuing yourself and put you first. It's okay.
Like when you're in the
it's okay
in the
to put you first.
The plane wrecks, you're supposed to first put your oxygen mask on and then you can
And then your kid. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned really briefly that you were doing jujitsu.
Mm-hmm.
So you know jujitsu?
I do jujitsu. I haven't done jujitsu. It's been, okay, I'm going to say I'm the blue belt statistic right now. All the jujitsu people are going to be like, she doesn't do jujitsu. She's been missing for I don't know how many years. But yeah, I stayed a blue belt forever.
Is that the first one or what?
So it's white and then it's blue. Hey, but blue. They call it the blue belt statistic because it takes you so long to get out of the white, and when you get to the blue, you finally, like, you feel so empowered, like, oh, I'm everything, and then you veer off and disappear, you know? And, like, you feel like you accomplished something.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's so much more to do and so much more to learn.
Wow.
But it tends to be where a lot of people, like, end up leaving, you know? And leaving it behind because it is a long journey. And so I eventually have to go back to that. I'd love to go back to it to finish that off because it's definitely, like, it's a really good sport. Like, oh, my God. I'm going to tell you that the two things that I've done competitively that I feel were the most, like, what is the word for this? Like, it was the most
challenging.
It was the most challenging. It was jujitsu and CrossFit. So jujitsu because
mine was roller derby.
Oh, I've been wanting to try that.
Yes.
Roller derby.
It's good to try everything once,
yes,
right?
I love it. I usually, you know, I like to do new things. I love to get into new things and just, I like to live right. Life. YOLO. You only live once for maybe in multiple lifetimes, but
I mean,
YOLO.
You are doing a lot of things.
Yes, definitely. So yeah, I think
you're the woman of many talents.
I am. You know, I feel like it's been a good thing because I feel like the universe was like, you're gonna have a terrible life, but you're gonna have so many things that are gonna make you, like, you can make it out. Like, you have so many talents. Because I feel like I'm good at a lot of things. Like, there's not a lot of things that I'm not good at. Like, I'm just a natural. Like, I can pick it up really fast. I have a lot of talents. It's crazy. Like, I think I'm hated a little bit because of it, you know? Like, how is she good at everything, you know? But I tend to just, it's just, I don't know. Like, I just was given a lot of gifts to be able to make it work. Like you had a terrible lifestyle, like, as a child, but you're going to make it out. Like, you're going to find a way. And I feel like that's always been the gift from God to me. Like, you know, you're going to make it. Like, you have to make it from something. Pick one, anyone.
Sometimes it flips around because you're saying that you had a terrible life in the beginning and now it's different. And sometimes other people have a great life and then it starts going terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people have different stories.
Yeah.
You know, people have, you know, there's no person that's the same.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, all of our traumas come from childhood. Like, oh my God, I've been to so many events of healing events.
You were at that Con Ganas, Mija?
I was at Con Ganas, Mija, yes. Yeah. I did go to that.
How was that?
It was a lot of beautiful women, you know. You got to learn a lot from other women who are, you know, also like up there and just kind of trying to women empowerment and kind of like just empowering each other and being united. And oh my God, I just love that so much because it is so hard for people to stop comparing or competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That when you finally can look at it differently and be like, hey man, let's do this together. Like, oh, I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you that you're doing this. Like, it's a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just different and it's beautiful. And to just be united and to not be hateful.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they might be doing the same thing you're doing, it's like, it's hard, you know? It's hard to be like, oh, we're doing the same thing. Like, I hope hers doesn't work out. Like, no, like, you know, it's like, I look at it in the way of like, there's 8 billion people in this world. Like, you can't possibly help everybody, you know? Like, there's going to be people that don't like me. There's going to be people that don't like you. Like, there's people for everyone.
Yeah.
And another thing is, what is meant for you will never pass you by.
Yeah.
So I just live by that. And I really try to remind myself of that every time, every day, that there's enough people for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough money for everybody. Like, I don't need to be putting somebody down. I don't need to be, like, blocking somebody's, like, whatever they're trying to go towards. Like, I don't need to do that. That to me is wasted energy and it feels ugly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't want to do that. Like, there's no point. And when you get to have a group of women like that where they just unite and kind of support each other and give each other ideas and like, it's just beautiful. It's a really beautiful environment.
And you're talking about, you know, having a positive mindset towards your community. I believe it was last week where I went to one of your events at the beach. And it was a great community. Everyone was pretty, like, it felt like I was... like, you guys have been doing that forever, and now it felt very, like, welcoming.
Yeah.
It felt like, I didn't feel like I was
like
new.
Shunned or like,
yeah, yeah.
We it don't
felt,
know him.
It felt very, like, comforting. And can you talk to me about, like, how would you describe that type of event for those that are listening or watching? Like, it's like meditation with sound baths or... What does that type of event do for people?
Okay. So basically, the moon events, I'm going to call them moon events because when people hear moon ritual, they automatically think like you're a witch, you're praying to the moon like and doing witchcraft. Like, it's totally not that.
We did
that. it's deeper than that. It's something else. So why do we use the full moons? Because the moon... it tends to, when there's a full moon, your emotions tend to kind of just heighten up. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention, but when there's a full moon, you feel your emotions are just different and they're a little wacky. Mm. It's because it really pulls on pulling that up, you know, to the surface.
We're filled with water and the water,
yes,
the
exactly.
waves are being picked
yes.
up by the moon.
So I don't know if you've ever heard like doctors and police officers say that when there's a full moon, they get extra, the hospitals get full, like they arrest more people.
Really?
Because our emotions are just everywhere wow. when there's a full moon. And so that's why we use the full moon for these events, because you're already bringing those, like it's coming up to the surface.
Yeah.
So we use it to release whatever we want to let go of. Things that, you know, maybe are holding us back. So we do different themes on each one. I don't know if you were there for the ancestors one or not.
Mm-mm.
I don't remember which one you were at, but we did one for the ancestors of like, just like if there's been somebody who's passed away and you maybe you wanted to say something, you didn't get to say those last words of goodbye, like write that letter down, write that letter to them and just, oh, it gets emotional. Sometimes it gets really emotional. Mm-hmm. I was crying for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, you write your letter and it's just your form of releasing what you wish you had said that you never got to say,
wow.
you know? And so after that, we burn our letters like as a form of releasing it and letting it go.
Yeah.
And it's just magical. It's beautiful. Like it really, you feel like weight is lifted off your shoulders because it really does help you get clear of those emotions. It's basically like your diary, you know, when you're on a, if you've ever written on a diary, like you feel so much better afterwards.
I used to call it a journal.
Yeah, because for men, it sounds funny as a diary. But yeah, it literally helps you like just express yourself and say what you need to say and let it out. Because when we hold it in and don't like, and we just keep it there, it literally piles up on you and it keeps you, it makes you angry, it makes you drink, it makes you act out in obsessive ways that we don't tend to know that it's, hey, it's from this.
Yeah.
Like it everything comes back to something. So that's why literally anything obsessive. So it could be gambling, it could be like, you know, going out partying too much, drinking too much, drugs, whatever it is that you're doing obsessively, sex, anything. It has a source. So when you go back and look at it, what is it that is causing me to act this way? You'll find it. And
when
so
you
basically
write it down.
You'll start to express or like start to feel like, for me, it's like when I act out of normal, I'll tend to be like, I don't guilt myself anymore. I don't do that. Now I just look at it and be like, okay, so why do we do that? Why do we do that? Like I talk to myself right?
Yeah. We all do it.
I'll be like, why do we do that? Why do we act like this? And then I'll be like, okay, I was feeling out of balance. Maybe my finances weren't together and I went out to escape my life for a moment and I overdrank and then I acted inaccordingly, right? And so then I'm like, okay, so let's be nicer to ourselves. Let's forgive ourselves and let's move on. And that's okay. And that's it.
Yeah.
And literally when you don't have the guilt and the shame of, oh my God, I did this. Oh my God, I did that. Like No, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very forgiving to myself. I'm very loving to myself. It's like you being your best friend to you. You know, there used to be a time where a lot of us are, we are our worst critics. Yeah. And we tend to talk to ourselves in the ugliest ways. Like, oh, well, you fucked up again. You did that yeah. again. Like, oh, there you are. Well, you got to be, that happened to you because you went. Why did you go? And yeah. so we tend to be so harsh on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, step out, step back. Like, why did we do it? Mm-hmm. Instead of, you did this, yeah. you did that, putting you down, belittling you, putting you. And so all that is emotions that keeps mm-hmm. you hold and keeps you down. And so when you look at it in a different perspective and step out of it and kind of be gentle to yourself, mm-hmm. you can resolve it
yeah.
and figure it out and prevent it from happening again. And so, yeah, so these moon events help us to release these emotions basically, right? Yeah. So we burn our letters, we release it, let it go. We do yoga with me, of course, the Healing Lotus. And then the sound bath is with Shaylee, and mm-hmm. she does the bowls. Yeah. Sound bowls, so like, you know how I was saying earlier about the sound vibration?
Yeah, when you sing.
So yeah, and so any sound vibration, any instrument, any, it gets a vibration going. Like, I don't know if this happens to everybody, but me being a music person, like, music makes me feel some type of way. Like, when I'm listening to a guitarist, like, just go off, like, on that guitar, like, I feel like inside me, like, ding-ding-ding. Like, it just really, like, it hits.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're happy.
Yeah, it's joyful. It's like a different feel, and you really feel those notes, and it's different. And so that's what these instruments do. Like, it helps to heal. It's healing bowls, right? Mm-hmm. So it helps heal certain parts of you. It's like, even after you do the bowls, like, you'll have to drink some water. Like, you'll have to stay hydrated, because it really stirs things up, and like, and also with the moon and all of that. So basically, all of that put together, it's just a whole like healing moment of and to all the religious people who have attacked me in the past,
really?
I will say it's not like, because yeah, I mean, I was told like, you heal with God. It's like, okay, this is like a connect, we do have a connection with yeah. it's not witchy, you know, because of
no, I was everything in the universe is inside our body.
We're all connected,
made up of the same elements.
We're all connected,
that the universe is.
We're part of God. We don't need a middleman to get to God. Like, we're all connected. Yeah. You know, and so
you don't need to tell your sins to the priest.
Exactly. Which is a topic that's definitely controversial, but it's like, learn how to think
my parents
right for yourself.
Yeah, my parents tried to take me to the, you know, that school when I was like in middle school or, yeah, really young. And then the first day they're like, okay, kids, this is what's going to happen. You're going to learn this, this, and this. And then at the end of the course, you're going to have to tell the priest, like, all the bad things that you've done. And I was like, what? That's no, what? And then I didn't go back. I was like, that's dumb.
Yeah. So I think religion can be helpful, like, for a lot of people, right? But I think for me, in the way I see it, in the end, I want to trust myself. Like, if something sounds wrong, if something sounds off, I'm going to trust me, and I will not follow anyone blindly, you know? And I came to that realization recently. I was at some event, and I saw this person act out of character that it really made me question, like, the person as a leader. And it made me feel like, okay, maybe he had an off day. Maybe he was just not himself. Mm-hmm. But it made me realize, we're human, mm-hmm. and we make mistakes, and we can be wrong. And so in that moment, it was like, I do not follow anyone blindly. Like, in the end, I will always trust myself. I will always trust me. If it sounds wrong, if it feels wrong, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a rule to me, to myself, you know, mm-hmm. to follow. And that's a rule that I feel like people should follow in church as well, right? Mm-hmm. Because it tends to be more of like, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't. It's like, well, question mm-hmm. why? Like, why can't I question why? Why can't I question this? Like, and it's not, it shouldn't be a bad thing to be able to think for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
If you're not doing anything, I mean, not that it's bad, but if you're not doing anything bad, like, why can't I think for me? Why can't mm-hmm. I make my own decisions? Why can't I think that this is not right or that doesn't sound right?
And most of the time when I would ask someone like why this or why that, they would get angry.
Yeah.
And they're like, just because. Yeah. And I think the reason why they would say that is because they didn't question their, when they were kids,
superiors.
They didn't question them.
Yeah.
And they never asked, you know, why or why. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, just because, just yeah. because. So I don't know, maybe that's yeah. a reason. I don't know.
And it's like a kind of a form of control.
Yeah.
So I guess the moon events are not anything to do with religion. It's more of like with you, with yourself, yeah. Releasing these things, like kind of helping you heal.
Mm-hmm.
And healing is not like a one-time thing and you're done. Mm-hmm. Like I'm healed. Like
yeah.
I had somebody tell us, oh, I cried so much. I don't think I have anything else to heal. I'm like, you'd be surprised. Yeah. Like stuff like surfaces up later.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, yeah, so these events literally is to get out there,
yeah.
connect, also to ground, because grounding helps us just ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like it helps you release any negative energies. It helps you just recharge our bodies. You know, back in the hunter-gathering eras, like when we were outside, outdoors, we were connecting with nature.
Yeah.
We were barefoot, you know, things mm-hmm. like that we didn't have. You know, I can't say I was back there and said, hey, there's no depression, you know, but I feel.
As a kid, when you would walk outside barefoot,
yeah, you didn't have those kind of emotions because descalzo, like that was me,
yeah.
climbing trees. Like I was just like out there in the naranjos, throwing naranjas at each other, you know, like being a kid and having fun and just be out in nature.
Yeah.
And we tend to be indoors a lot now and we're always wearing shoes. And so we don't get to kind of get those, that connection.
Yeah.
I'm going to explain it this in the best way to be able to see it. But like the earth has a magnetic charge to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so our bodies work like electrically. So the synapses, when they send messages to our body, like the things that work in our body without us having to tell it, like breathing,
mm-hmm.
like our heartbeat, like all of those things that work, it works.
It's all energy.
In energy, right? So when we are recharged, when we are barefoot, we get to recharge our body and start to get it going and start to flow out those energies that are negative. I swear to you, this morning, I cried so much. I was in tears. I was like, I was just not feeling myself. I was like feeling like not disconnected, discouraged. I was feeling discouraged. I was just like, what's happening, right? Like, why is this not happening for me? Like, and I was in that victim mentality of
mm-hmm.
like life and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so I was really emotional. And
a lot of people are going through that.
Yes. And, you know, it could be a shift also. But so I was like, I need to get out. I need to go outside. And I already know. This is literally what I advise everybody that I talk to, like, go outside. And I was like, go outside. Let's go. Vámonos.
Well, you know? It's funny you mentioned that because every time I leave my apartment, I feel extremely happy as soon as I like I'm inside, right? And I open the door and I go out. And then as I'm locking the door, like I'm receiving all
mm-hmm.
the sun and the light.
The sun
and it feels really good. Like when I step out.
Yeah.
When you're inside, it feels like you're contained.
Yeah.
And when you go outside, it feels like there's immense amount of possibilities.
Yeah.
Like anything can happen. Like anything and any type of idea that you have in your brain or anything that you want to accomplish, it could be possible.
Exactly.
Like that's the kind of feeling I get when I go outside.
And you're really right. You're right on point. So that's literally what I tell. Like, so my tarot always tends to be like a counseling session, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my advice is always go ground yourself. And why? Because of the connection, right? But on top of that, you start to get ideas, you start to get downloads. Ideas are downloads. And you start to just know what's next, what am I going to do next? Like you just by being outdoors, being in nature, like whether you're walking, whether you're on the bike, whether you're just sitting outside, you start to just, your brain starts to go, your wheels start turning, you start to get these like ideas and you know what's next.
Yeah.
And so that's what I went to go do today. I literally disappeared. Maggie was like, where did you go? I went and just I was at the park by myself. I tend to be a loner a lot of the times.
I saw you wear some feathers.
Yeah, with my feathers. So my feather thing, I pick them up and I stand them and I leave them for like somebody a message else. Of hope for someone to find. Because to me, feathers are like my angels are with me. I'm protected. Yeah, I've
heard that before.
And so like that's, you know, my feather. And so I do that and I arrange them that way. And I guess that I was having those emotions and I see the feathers sticking out in the ground and I was like, it felt so good. Like it literally puts a smile on your face and it gives you that little like glimpse of light and hope of like, you got this, we're right here. We're supporting you. Like, don't give up, like keep going. And all those words that just pop up from that feather stick standing there, you know? Nice. And it was like, it's beautiful. Where were we before this?
Well, before we continue, I wanted to tell you that what I experienced after the moon event, the ritual, the witch ritual.
Mm-hmm. The witch ritual.
So you made us, you didn't make us, right? But
we forced them,
We wrote down some of the things that we had in our minds, in our hearts, we wanted to accomplish. And after that, I've been noticing, because I wrote it down, like I would notice before, like patterns of behavior, pattern of thought, patterns of being. But when I wrote it down, like these past few days, I've noticed them more.
Like they've, acting on it?
They've been more like, hey, that's happening. Like I kind of like quickly find it more so than before.
Yeah.
Before, I would go on this pattern of behavior or thought, and then I wouldn't like think about it or like find out about it until like it's already passed. And now it's like, hey, I'm finding it like as it's beginning.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what I wanted to share.
Good. I'm so happy to hear that. Shaylee's going to love this. It's definitely like journaling is like a thing that I do every morning, like to just journal and just write whatever you're feeling, write what you want, what you're trying to attract, and also gratitude. So those are important things to just make sure you journal every day to just kind of get you like, one, to know what's next, to know what's your plan, to know what you're trying to do to stay focused. Mm-hmm. Because if you're like me, I start like 10 things at once and I finish maybe two, you know, I just have so much energy. And I think it's also from my trauma, from my childhood, that I need chaos and I need the extra things at the same time so that I can accomplish something. Like I need that pressure.
It's, like I didn't edit my podcast.
Put that song Pressure from Joe, Billy Joel. Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding. Like the podcast that I released today, actually, I didn't start editing it until this morning.
Okay.
And it was like the pressure of like, oh, but I feel like I can edit better when I'm under pressure.
Me too. You know, that is a thing. Like I did the same thing. So through college, like I had a paper, right? This huge paper, this essay that I need to write. I need to do research. And for the life of me, I would try before 2 weeks in advance, more or more. And I just could not focus. Like I could not. I'd sit for hours.
That's how I am.
And I would do nothing. I'd just be playing with my pen. I'd be like a kid. Like I could not focus. I could not do anything. And so, oh my God, but the day of, it's like freaking like 10 hours you're there just like right and oh, it's done. And you feel like so accomplished afterwards. But it's like, why?
I don't know.
Why do I do this to myself? But it's totally from childhood.
That's a sign.
That's a sign. Something's coming.
But you were saying that you offer these sessions to anybody, right? What... Has there been a pattern that you've found like, there's these type of people that get the most out of these sessions, these yoga, meditation, like who are those people that you feel would be the most benefited from these sessions?
You know, I'm going to say everyone benefits from these sessions. I think a lot of the times we don't look at what is causing these things. So because we don't know how to pay attention to it. So example for myself, it was at the past was where I would drink every weekend and it was like, why am I drinking every day? Every weekend. Like, and not that it's bad, but why am I drinking? Like when you start questioning yourself of why you're doing something, you start to find a a pattern. There's something there, something you're trying to leave. You're not wanting to be home. You don't want to be with your partner. Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to run away from your family. Like, what is it that is causing you to drink? Because there's something that you're not happy about, and that's why you need a drink to help you, like, forget mm-hmm. or relax. Like, why do you need the alcohol, right? And so I'm going to say everybody has childhood traumas, no matter how small. Like, I'm going to say small in the, oh, my mom just never gave me a hug. Uh-huh. And it sounds small to us, but to that person, they had a perfect life, but my mom never hugged me. And yeah. a hug is so magical, and it's yeah. powerful.
Especially to one that has never received one.
Exactly. And as being a kid, like, we need to be nurtured, you know? And so that hug means everything. And so everyone has something. And I think that these events could help everyone to just kind of, like, you know, spark up a question, or spark up this thought process, or spark up this conversation with yourself, mm-hmm. you know? And the thing is, about these events is that we're not showing each other, like, oh, look, this is, oh, can you read to out loud what you just wrote? Like, no, it's within you. So we're all there together, but you're separate. Like, oh, yeah, you know? Oh. In that case, nobody wants to write anything down, right? So here it's like you're on your journey by yourself, which yeah. is life. We're on our journey by yeah. ourselves. And life is a journey. And so, yeah, so basically we spark up the question. We spark up, like, what was you to write about, and it gets you going. And yeah. then it just gets that out of you.
Yeah.
And then you feel so much better afterwards. And then the ocean bath is to cleanse yourself yeah, from awesome. Letting it go, releasing it. Also, salt water is good for, like, cleansing toxic energy. So it just literally, like, is mm-hmm. like a cleanse every month of just throwing out that, like, the suit, and yeah, going into a new true. Version, new beginning. Let's yeah, try. Yeah. Let's try this again.
because we're in the valley, I try to ask this to everybody, which is, like, what does the term? I don't know if you've heard it, probably. Puro 956. What does that mean to you?
Puro 956 to me is like raza, like, it's like our people. Like, I've never thought of that saying, but she says ghetto.
I know. No, it's interesting because I've asked that to a couple of people already, and it's interesting what you get. Like, depending who it is, you get mm-hmm. like positive, you get some not so positive. So it's like all in between. So yeah. I always like
to see what
it is, because the valley, I feel like a lot of people want to leave. Ever since I can remember, since I was, like, in middle school, everyone was always, like, talking about, like, oh, I can't wait to leave to LA, mm-hmm. which I actually left to LA. I can't wait to leave to New York, to Chicago, blah, 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 blah. And now I feel like there's, like, some sort of, like, renaissance where people are, like, no, we're proud to be from here.
From the valley,
and
yeah.
I feel like that...
yeah, to me, it feels like it's, like, raza. We're, like, it's, like, our raza. And I say raza because it's the best way to say the word than, like, our community.
Yeah, our community.
Community sounds not raza, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's another word for community, but more of a raza.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of the store? Like, and tell me about your outfit, what you're wearing.
I mean, I was definitely going to bring this up, but okay, guys, this totally gives me Tony Montana vibes of, like, his, you know, when he meets the girl. Let me see yeah. if you can back it up. But
the ice chico. They never lie.
You know, she's kind of dancing, and she's just like, you know, just minding her, and super serious, but totally gives me that vibe. I also love this outfit because I feel like I'm an old soul, you know? Like, I feel like, one, I feel like I've been here multiple times because I just love all kinds of music. Like, I love oldies. I love, like, the 60s. I love the looks. I love everything about the flippers. I mean, everything. Yeah. And I just totally love this vibe. And I That's love great. This vintage store, guys. If you haven't been here, you totally have to come check it out. It's so much things to look at. Like, you will be entertained for a long time. But she has all kinds of, Yvette, has all kinds of outfits and shoes and bags and, like, everything. Like, I swear you will not be bored in here, for reals.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is my outfit for today. And I'm really loving it. I'm really digging it, you know?
No, yeah, you look great. Thank you. She's always like really big on putting her clothes on some of the guests, even though some of them don't want to. But like, yeah, she's got an amazing spot. And I told you when I invited you to come over last week, I was like, yeah, you guys are not going to be sitting down at all. You're going to be like looking
everywhere. I did. First of all, I didn't know what he meant, okay? Because he never told me who Yvette was. And I didn't know where I was coming. Like, he gave me the name. Backdoor Modern Vintage.
Yeah, and okay. You're like, where's the back door?
And I was like, where's the back door? We came through the side, okay? So, okay, there was a lot of miscommunication here. But I was, like, not expecting this at all. And, oh, my God, I still haven't looked through the whole store, you know? Like, there's still a lot to look at. And especially the VIP section, if you get to go in there, okay?
It's awesome. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff in there. She just recently changed it. But one thing that I want to finish off the interview with is for those that are watching you for the first time and they're thinking about reaching out to you about doing whether it's yoga or meditation or any sort of in between there, because you also offer workout sessions, right?
Yeah, so basically right now everything's on my TikTok. So I'm doing like, I have subscriptions of like an ab workout, booty workout, yoga. And the yoga is going to be the longest one, but I'm targeting like moms. I'm targeting people who don't have time to exercise. So it's like quick 10 minute. And if you want to do more, you can get the other ones, right?
Nice.
And basically do it at home because some of us don't have time. Like, we have kids, we have all these things to do, but your exercise is so important.
Yeah.
And so basically all of that is in there. But events, I am available for events. So people hire me for like, come do yoga for this thing over here. Come do yoga for that. And also for tarot. So now I'm getting hired right now, especially right now for Halloween, I'm being hired for tarot.
Nice.
So that's fun. But yeah, I think also the moon events, we're doing them every month. So our next one is actually October 27th in Harlingen.
There's an eclipse this weekend, right?
So, you know, I saw that it was today. I thought it was the 14th. But some other post said it was today. But today was super cloudy, and so there was no way to see it. But I think it's the 14th, I'm not mistaken.
So is there any sort of like, I don't know, because you said like the moon, you said the moon brings out your innermost self.
So I heard it's supposed to be a powerful event, but I think yesterday was more because it was the 10-10 portal. So 10-10 is like ending cycles.
Yeah.
So basically ending period to what's new, what we left behind and what's new.
Nice.
So it tends to be a lot of the times of what are we leaving behind? What are we going towards? Our new beginning. So that's basically it. And on the eclipse, I don't want to lie. I don't remember what exactly the eclipse was for, but it does also have, everything astrology has a meaning to everything. And it's crazy how it matches up. Like, it's like, how?
Yeah.
But it definitely does. But the Harlingen one is October
27th. Yeah.
It's gonna be at the Luna, the Sky Luna.
When is it?
The Luna Sky Lounge.
When is it gonna be?
October 27th.
Okay, so it's probably gonna be way
after. And it's in Harlingen though.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be way after because this podcast is gonna be released like a month.
Okay. So it's not gonna come out. Dang it. Okay.
But I can send you that section.
Okay.
Or after the podcast, what we could do is you could do like a little promo saying like the event and I'll send you that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. I like that.
There's one question that I've always wanted to ask that I wasn't sure what it means. What in the world is Mercury in retrograde?
Maggie, can you bring my backpack? Do you have it? Is it there?
Mercury in Gatorade.
In the microwave.
I've seen so many memes about that.
I actually have... This is my spiritual backpack, guys.
Nice.
First of all, this backpack comes with me everywhere. You know, this is like my hiking backpack, and it's just the perfect size for my water bottle and anything else I don't want to carry, like small things. But is Mercury in retrograde is right here.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you could see that.
Oh, yeah. What does that
So basically, Mercury in retrograde is when people tend to come back. So most of the time, they're coming back incorrectly. So it means the emotions just got so overwhelmed with the emotion that it makes them come back, and they weren't really prepared, and then they tend to run away. It's like, and that could be relationship, it could be family member that you maybe weren't talking to, like it could be any type of dynamic, but tends to be where people return, and it's up to you to decipher if it's coming back the positive right way or negative. Wow. So it's like to trust your intuition, but that's, I feel like we're always in Mercury's in retrograde, always. It's
I
like,
always hear that. Like, oh, yeah. I was like, what does that mean?
Yes, it's definitely a thing. I think I even posted a meme once where it's like somebody texts you late at night, like, and it's the, oh, Mercury's in retrograde. Yeah, let's not do that.
But is there anything that you would like to share that I haven't asked?
Let's see. I think...
Any questions from the audience?
I think we pretty much covered everything. I mean, on TikTok, if you guys want to follow me on TikTok,
I'll put everything
there. I basically, and we already discussed the talents, the multi-talents.
Let's not forget the talents. What was that?
My what?
Oh, your tarot.
Yeah, my tarot. Yeah, we did mention my tarot. Yeah, yeah, I did bring it too, just in case.
Well, we'll probably have to do another one some other time, so we could do the updated version of like what's going on with your life, what talents you've accumulated next. But I would like to thank you for coming all the way over here again.
Thank you.
All the way from Weslaco, all the way to Weslaco. But thank you for your time, and I hope that you continue on your journey of self-growth and helping other people improve their understanding of themselves. Mm-hmm. And can't wait to see where you go.
Thank you. I'm excited. And thank you for reaching out. It totally was like, oh my God, yes. How exciting. And I'm excited to be here. And I think you got something awesome going on here. And I can't wait to see your progress as well.
Thank you.
I have seen how it's evolved, like, looking at your older videos to like your newer ones. And thank you so much for reaching out as well.
Appreciate it.